Hello, Sunday Night's Main Event listeners. Jason Agnew here. Remember, tonight we are going to be doing our after party for SummerSlam, and that is going to be happening for all of our patrons right after SummerSlam goes off the air. We'll have it posted here later, or at least a portion of it posted here later for all of you freebie listeners. Right now, though, the CM Punk debut in AEW was so big, we are going to talk about it on our regular Sunday Night show, but I wanted to give you a bonus here. This is Dan the Mouth Lavransky and Joe Aguinaldo, as we call them, the old fucks, with their review of Friday night's Rampage show from AEW featuring the debut of CM Punk. And remember, each and every week, Joe and Dan review Dynamite and they review Rampage to get those podcasts in your inbox the day after the show. All you've got to do is subscribe to patreon.com/SNMEradio. Once again, that's patreon.com/SNMEradio. But now, here is Joe Aguinaldo and Dan the Mouth Lavransky with their review of AEW Rampage. Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cult of personality.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. CM Punk is now officially All Elite. We knew it was coming. They teased us with it for the last few weeks, and they paid off big time. They set it all up perfectly. And once again, Joe Aguinaldo, my partner in old fuckery, and we are here once again to talk about Rampage. Only the second week of Rampage, and it's going to be one of the most memorable shows in AEW history. There's no doubt about that.
Dude, I might argue that might be one of the most memorable wrestling shows in a while.
It's going to go down. I find it very interesting that two of the big ones that always people will talk about will be the CM Punk pipe bomb and CM Punk coming back 7 years later, for sure. Because this was insanity. So Dan the Mouth Lavransky here, Joe Aguinaldo. We just got done watching Rampage. It was in Chicago. So, of course, before Punk can even come out, and AEW was smart. They put it right at the beginning of the show. They knew how the crowd was going to react. It just shows you how well they understand their audience. And they work towards what the audience wants. What a concept. I can't believe it. They give the audience what they want. So, yeah, they put it right off the top. And the crowd was like, the first thing, crowds just chanting, CM Punk, CM Punk. Cult of personality hits. You know, I love Living Color. I actually think they have a lot better songs than that one. But in this instance, that was the best sounding tune. Crowd goes ballistic. Punk comes out very casual. He's got jeans, a hoodie, running shoes, pretty relaxed, but of course, soaking it all in as the whole crowd is just losing it. Joe, did you notice at one point that the crowd was actually, they were chanting so loud, it was louder than the music?
No, that's true. Like when, you know, when the music was playing, it did get to a point where the crowd did get loud. And then I guess, you know, whoever was doing the music was smart. They just sort of turned it down. They kept, you know, they gradually faded it out. So I just thought, like, again, just what a really cool moment. And I mean, we're not even 5 minutes into the show yet. You know what I mean?
No, but again, they knew exactly what to do. Like, they set it up perfectly. You couldn't have done it any better. Punk comes out, totally looks happy. He looks so happy. He starts to tear up. You can tell he's emotionally invested. He's really just totally freaked out. He starts walking down towards the ring. He dives into the crowd at one point.
Dude, I was like, what? Whoa. Like, when he did that.
He was ecstatic, man. He was so excited to be there. He just dives into the crowd. The fans loved it. They showed a shot of a guy crying in the crowd while this was going on. You know, we're 5 minutes in. They're still chanting for Punk. It's totally going to go down as a great moment in wrestling history, not just AEW history. But in all of pro wrestling history, because it's a very, very strong moment. Punk's going to have claim to two of the strongest moments in wrestling history, the pipe bomb and this. It was just unbelievable. And Punk was smart too. He moved very slowly. He hugged a bunch. I mean, he hugged a bunch of people at ringside that I'm sure have significance to him, but I wasn't sure who a lot of them were.
I'm guessing like maybe family. Like
I think so. Yeah,
that'd be my guess.
And he really milked it. He took his time getting to the ring, that's for sure. And even when he got in the ring, there was chanting for him. And they actually went to break. Not a quick one. Like, they only did 90 seconds. And then at a break. And so the screen goes dark, comes back very quickly.
You know what, though? That's smart, though, because it's like, you know, like, give, like, I like the fact that he, like, you know, he took his time. Right. And he soaked it in. He let the crowd, you know, sort
soak it in as well.
And then like to go to break, that gave that live crowd, you know, that 90 seconds where,
yep,
hey, man, this is for us. Like, this is for the, this isn't just TV now. This is just for the people in the arena. So I dug that. And again, you know what? Like, based on that reaction. Yeah. Let the guy soak it in a little bit. Let the guy, you know, sort of, you know, feel the crowd. And you know, he mentions that in his promo later on. But yeah, I thought it was a really, really cool moment. And then when they said, yeah, we got to go to break, I'm like, yeah, let them go to break, let the crowd cheer a bit more, you know, get them worked up during the break, you know, so, you know, when, and, you know, until we come back, right?
Okay, so yeah, we come back after a quick break. So Punk starts his promo in the ring. I mean, they come back from commercial. The crowd is still chanting and stuff. And the first thing he goes, you sure know how to make a kid feel like Britt Baker in Pittsburgh. So that, which of course got a huge pop from the crowd. Then he said, we're winning this. And basically talked about, he wasn't really sure what he was even going to say, how he was going to feel when he was out there. He just kind of needed to get out there and feel it, and he would kind of figure out what to say. And he said, I feel it, Chicago. I hear you. And the crowd's just going wild, screaming and yelling. They start chanting his name again. And Punk's like, yes, I've heard that chant for like 7 years now. And, you know, I've got lots to tell you. And he said, you know, the bad news is we won't get into all of it right away. But the good news is I got time on Wednesdays and Fridays, 4 Sundays or Saturday a year, whatever. And he said, I ain't going anywhere. So basically saying that he will be a strong part of AEW moving forward. He said, the most important thing I wanted to say for those of you at home and those of you that bought a ticket and even to the guys in the back, he said, if any of my choices made you feel disappointed or let down, let me just say I understand. As long as all of you try to understand, I could never get healthy physically, mentally, or spiritually staying in the same place that made me sick in the first place. So basically there he's trying to say, you know, those of you that are disappointed I left WWE, I just kind of took my ball and went home. Hey, man, I was unhealthy. I was messed up mentally. I had to get out of there. The place was making me sick. And then he said, can I tell you a story? And talked about how hot it was. He took his hoodie off. Of course, he's got the new CM Punk shirt on underneath, which I'm sure people are ordering like mad.
Got to sell that merch, baby. Got to sell that merch.
Oh, man. You know, those T-shirts are going to go huge. I bet people right now like punching the keys right now ordering T-shirts.
I wonder if Jake Alomar is in line at some merch stand over there. So
for sure, yeah,
he's at the show, so he was.
I'm sure he is. He's there. He's from.
Yeah, he said that the reaction to Punk was lit. So like,
well, that's it. A lot of times it's never as good on the television as when you're there, right? So I'll bet it was friggin' off the charts. I'm sure it was insane.
For sure, and it was pretty good on television. So
yeah,
I can only imagine what that felt like live. So.
So Punk starts his story. He says he knew he couldn't stay in Ring of Honor. He said August 13th, 2005 was his last match. He had tears in his eyes because he had made that a place where people could come and work and learn their craft and make a living and love pro wrestling. And he said, I cried because I knew I was leaving this place that I loved, and I knew where I was going wouldn't be easy for me. Because I'm one of you, and he talked about how he was a fan and stuff like that, and going to WWE would be hard. He said, August 13th, 2005, I left pro wrestling. August 20th, 2021, I came back, I'm back for you and me, and I'm back with young talent. And they say, why aren't you with them? And I hear them. He goes, I want to work with the young talent that had their talent crushed out and scores to settle in the locker room. And then he name checked Darby Allin, and they cut to the rafters, and there's Sting and Darby Allin hanging out in the rafters. Darby had this crazy face paint on tonight. Half the face was white, and then on top of that, he had like it looked like the veins that would be underneath the skin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was pretty good.
Creepy looking makeup, yeah. And so Punk looks up and he goes, "I see you up there. You're good." You know, and he talks a whole bunch about Darby's highlights. You know, you're great. You got thrown down the stairs. I don't know how you do it. You always come back. You're tough. And he said, I'm here to help you, and you're the first on the list because you like dangerous, and there's nothing more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk. He said, except wrestling CM Punk in Chicago. And he said, I will see you and Sting September 5th at All Out. I'm back. I appreciate everyone. This is hilarious. So he's made the challenge to Darby. He'll be at the pay-per-view. And he says to the crowd, I love everyone, each and every one of you. So on your way out, free ice cream on me. So apparently, because the commentators reinforced it, everybody that went to the show got some ice cream.
That also was a shoot. People were sending pictures and tweeting like actual ice cream bars. So,
yeah, they showed the commentary team with the ice cream bars. So there you go. So, yeah, the fans, the theme music comes back on. They're all singing. This is another one just like the Jericho theme where the fans are going to sing every time he comes out. That's for sure. And, yeah, the commentary guys had their ice cream. So, yeah, there you go, Joe. I mean, honestly, my only problem with it is it just ran a little too long. And it ended up affecting the whole rest of the show, as we'll see as we go through this here. But, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better response. Punk was genuinely emotional, which the fans can see. I just thought, I wish maybe that his promo had been a little bit more streamlined. And because that segment, by the time he finished, we were almost 20 minutes into only an hour-long show, and we still had, you know, three matches to get in.
You know what? I get what you're saying. But I did see an article, and I can't remember what site it was, but I did see an article where Tony Khan mentioned that this Rampage was going to be an atypical Rampage. So most Rampages are going to be like the one we saw in the first week. So given that this is the return of CM Punk, I think you had to give that return some time to breathe. Right. And I'm okay with the 20-minute opening segment as long as they don't do it every time.
They won't.
Right?
It's not WWE. So, they won't.
But that's what I mean. So I was actually fine with this 20-minute segment given what it was. Like if they had done like say and look here, I'll use Don Callis as an example. Don Callis and the Elite. Okay. Don Callis, we know, can cut a promo. But if he had come out today and did a 20-minute promo, I would have been like, come on, dude, like move it along.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's a special occasion. Yeah, yeah. And I understand all that. But if you knew that it was going to stretch like that, you booked too much. Then why did you book three matches? Like, if you're going to give it that time, you could have lost the match easily. I just felt that had so much time, the rest of the show really got rushed.
Yeah, it probably did, but again, I'm actually fine with this because I just thought this was a really good return. I mean, think about it.
No, I am too, Joe. That's not what I'm crabbing about. I'm crabbing that if they knew that Punk was going to go out and take that much time, they booked too much other stuff. They should have just said, okay, you know what? We'll do Jade Cargill and Kira Hogan, and we'll do the tag match for the tournament and have that as the main event. And you could have... would have been enough. You did, because Mox Garcia didn't really add anything to the big picture, right?
No, that's true too. Like again, I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, I personally didn't have a problem with it. I didn't have a problem with the pacing of the show. But I mean, I could see that because like yeah, Mox and like for me, it was when I saw Mox and Garcia, and I'm like, oh, they got 6 minutes left. Okay, like you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
even before that, because as you see right here with the next segment. Everything all of a sudden is like they're all on cocaine. It's like, blah, 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 blah. Like, this is insane. Like, we have After this, we go to the Christian and Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus together, and it's Christian basically giving Lucha Express a bit of a pep talk there.
They didn't need that segment.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. But still, it's there, and because the time's cut, they're like rushing. It's like the Christian said, you know, Bucks, you can hire all your old buddies, but they can't help you when the match takes place in the cage. He said, Omega, I have your number. I'm in your head. I took your confidence and your Impact title, and I'm going to beat you for the AEW belt and take your soul. It's just the fact, like, just everything had to go by so quickly. So after this, we go right into the match. It is Private Party against Lucha Express. And again, because I think these guys didn't have a lot of time, and I also think there was a bit of a styles clash, I did not think this was a particularly great match. I just didn't think they really gelled together that well, and I really did feel they were rushing. So the Bucks come out after the Lucha Express. They sit down with chairs. They're going to watch, but they didn't interfere, and they really weren't a factor at all. They just sat up on the ramp and watched with Cutler. They also showed Penta and Phoenix and the Varsity Blondes in the crowd, who are the other two teams in the tournament. It was at this point where I'm like, you know what? I've had enough of Mark Henry. He's just not ready. He might be great one day, but he's not ready now. He really needs some more practice. And I still find it strange that he's the commentary. And we should mention also that Jericho didn't do it this week, thankfully, selling the match from Wednesday. But Excalibur said he would be back next week, so it's kind of...
Yeah.
But they had JR in there this week, which I thought was definitely better than Jericho.
You know, admittedly, he actually had a pretty good night. I thought JR was fine. I thought
so, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I thought so, too.
Before you get into the match, the one thing I will give the announcers credit for is that at the very least, right, like... they did try to, give Mark Henry some opportunities to actually, they actually gave him some opportunities to talk and try to, hey, dude, here's your opportunity to shine. You know what I mean? Like, whereas Jericho last week, as good as he was just, like, he would just talk over everybody.
Yeah.
So I did appreciate the fact that they were trying to give Mark Henry some opportunities. But, yeah, man, like, he's still not there.
So we get into the match. Jungle Boy did some really cool walking on the top rope acrobatic moves with Quinn. Matt Hardy interferes in the match. They go to picture in picture, but because Joe and I are watching it on the TSN streaming service,
no picture in picture,
they keep the action. We can totally just watch the freaking match. I loved it. I was so in heaven. I honestly hope, Joe, that it stays on TSN Direct now for that very reason. That was so great. So we got to see the whole beatdown by Private Party onto Jungle Boy during the break. Again, the Bucks just up on the ramp sitting and watching, not really doing anything, no threatening to run in or anything. And then this was interesting, but because Joe and I didn't have pick and pick, it was fine. But this must have been awkward coming out of commercial in the States, because you come back and Jungle Boy was right in the middle of running and doing this crazy chaotic drop kick right when he's getting the hot tag to set up Luchasaurus to come in. So I bet you visually that probably looked a little crazy. So, of course, Luchasaurus hot tag runs wild, throws the guys around. The crazy spot of the match, Jungle Boy was on Luchasaurus' shoulders, and they were trying something with Isaiah. And Isaiah comes up the top, over the top of them, grabs Jungle Boy, and does a Canadian destroyer with him off the shoulders of Luchasaurus. It looked amazing, but I was scared by that. That was one of those moves where, like, wow, man, that was off by a couple centimeters. You could really hurt someone badly. It was insane.
See, it's weird because I actually thought I thought Jungle Boy was actually hurt. Like maybe he was selling really well. I don't know. But there was a part of me that was like, is he legit hurt? Like, I was actually scared for him. And I think, like, what Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus were actually trying to do, because they did this, I think it was on – I think they did this last week or on one of the shows. Anyways, they were just, like, Jungle Boy would do a superplex on someone off of Luchasaurus's shoulders, which
right,
I think is
right.
Like, again, it that's a that to me, that's like, a, ooh, that's pretty dangerous, man. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, when he hit that, when he hit the Canadian Destroyer, I remember thinking, holy shit. But
that's even more dangerous.
Yeah. And then I thought, oh man, like, I hope Jungle Boy's okay. Cause it did look like he landed not perfectly. So
that was crazy. Yeah. Yeah. That's a move. Better not pull that one out very often. Cause
no, in fact, I might take that one out of the arsenal. Like, if, you know what I mean? Especially if someone's going to kick out of it anyways.
So, Quinn, now that was funny. They do that intricate move, and then Quinn tries to do kind of his leaping moonsault to the outside and completely misses Luchasaurus. He barely touches him. JR had to even kind of
to cover that. Like, he actually went for a shooting star off the top rope, and yeah, like, I think
okay,
he landed
shooting star. Yeah,
yeah, he landed beside Lucha barely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He didn't really hardly even touch him.
Yeah.
Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy did that cutter combo move on Isaiah for a near fall. At one point, Isaiah tried to pin Jungle Boy at another point using the ropes, but Jungle Boy kicked out. Private Party tried for the gin and juice, but Jungle Boy turned it into a DDT, and then him and Luchasaurus did that
Thoracic combo Express, finish, I think it's called.
Right, okay, the Jurassic Express. And got the pin. So they go on in the tournament, which I don't think is a surprise to anyone. Again, I felt these guys were unfortunately rushed because of the time constraints. And I also felt a bit of a styles clash. I thought the match wasn't quite as smooth as it could have been.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know what this was? This was a whole bunch of, like, cool-looking high spots, but it didn't make a lot of sense. You know what I mean? Like, let me rephrase that. Cool looking high spots, but at times it was sloppy, and at times it was like, okay, like, both teams are kind of doing the same stuff anyways. And it was a, you know, it, like, I liked the match. Obviously the crowd was into it, but I was like, you know, like, I'm not sure about this.
Right? Yeah. Well, I feel because this is part of a tournament match for the titles. I would like to have seen it get more time. Like, I don't understand why you couldn't have had, drop the Moxley Garcia and just have Jade Cargill, Kira Hogan as a quick buffer match after the other stuff, and then have your main event and give the guy some time to do the tag match. I think that would have worked so much better.
Yeah, no, I can't argue that point. I think that, you know, like, I did like this match, but again, I agree with you. Like, there was some stuff in there where I was kind of like, ugh. You know what? In fact, like, I would argue that, like, the match actually where I thought it was the best was when Private Party were actually acting as heels, when they weren't trying to do, like, the flying moves or the off the top rope Canadian Destroyers. It was like, there was one point at the near the beginning of the match, not near the beginning, it was like when they went on the outside and, like, you know, Isaiah Cassidy and Mark Quinn hit, like, the poetry in motion to Jungle Boy on the barricade. You know, there was a portion of the match where Isaiah Cassidy was just stomping on Jungle Boy. Like, you know what? That made sense to me. Like, that looked like a good match because now you've got styles that that complement each other. But when both teams are really doing a lot of the flippy stuff, like, again, I'm not saying we've never seen, like, some good high-flying matches, like, say, the Bucks and Luchas. But these teams aren't the Bucks and the Luchas, right?
Okay, so from when that finishes, we go to, again, another quick promo, like, where basically everybody's just screaming and talking very quickly, you know? It's Omega with Don Callis. They're mad that Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy won. Don starts freaking out. He's raving about Christian. Omega said he was going to retire Christian at All Out. That's basically all I had time to write down because they just went so fast through that.
You didn't miss it. Like, he basically said, I'm going to retire you for another 7 years. That's really it.
There you go.
You know, but that was what, all of a 20-second promo. So,
yeah. Again, super rushed because of the time. And again, right after that, they did the same sort of thing with Jade Cargill and Kira Hogan. Hogan gets a couple quick words. They cut to Cargill. She basically said she was going to feast on Kira Hogan, and that was it. Out of there. So that brings us to the match. Jade Cargill against Kira Hogan. I mean, I think this is what everybody expected, and this is kind of what it has to be at this stage. They did let Kira get a little bit in, and I do stress a little bit.
She got, Jade, you know what? Cuts, she got off the
kick.
What's she that? Got two kicks. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Jade cuts her off with a kick. Jade holds her up there and does that kind of that face first power bomb. She calls it the Jaded. Is that what she's calling it?
The Jaded.
Okay. And yeah, so she got the Jaded and that was it. Kind of a squash, I think we all expected, although we didn't want it. Neither one of us wanted to see Kira Hogan put in that spot.
No, like it again, look, I understand it had to be a short match. Like, I mean, we mentioned this on Wednesday, but on All Elite Weekly, but like there was a match this week on, I think it was Elevation. Jade tried some new moves and man, they did not look good. And please don't do those for a while. So I didn't want to see, this was the match. I was legit scared for Kira, not because I didn't think she could handle the spotlight. It was because I thought Jade might try something new or try something big because they're in front of a big crowd.
Yeah,
and Jade's not ready for that. Kick, stomp, forearm, Jaded. That's all you need to do. And again, coming back to what you originally said, did not want to see Kira Hogan in this situation. If you're gonna put someone in a squash match, like put Julia Hart in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Put Maddie Redkowski. Put like Kylan King, Danny Jordan.
You had the Varsity Blondes there anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Like you know,
tournament. Right? You could have done something with them, right?
Yeah. For sure.
Okay, so after that, I think they had a break. They come back. They quickly recapped Punk coming in. They mentioned that he will be on Dynamite this Wednesday, which takes place in Milwaukee. We'll also see the Varsity Blondes against the Lucha Brothers in the other first bracket of the tournament. We'll see Red Velvet against Jamie Hayter. We're going to see Matt Hardy against Orange Cassidy. And Malachi Black will take on Arn Anderson's son, Brock. And then on Rampage next week, we'll get the finals of the tag team tournament with the Lucha Express facing the winners of the Blondes versus the Lucha Brothers. So, boy, does it end up being a double Lucha finish here with the Lucha Express against the Lucha Brothers?
You mean Jurassic Express, right?
Or yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, I, you know what, again, I said this on Wednesday and I'm sticking with it. I think the Lucha Brothers are winning this thing.
Right.
Cause you know, like you kind of even made mention of it on, Wednesday or sorry, at All Elite Weekly, like that, like, you know, the Jurassic Express could have won it, but they've already wrestled the Bucks. You know what I mean? You know, I honestly think the Luchas are going to win this. And like, again, if Jurassic Express wins, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I'm just like I'm looking forward to whoever's in that cage match. But really, I want to see the Lucha Brothers in that cage match.
Well, and you know, you already know we've seen them have a match. We already know that it's going to be good, right?
It's good. Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, those four guys will come up with crazy stuff to do inside the cage, too. That's the other thing.
They will.
Okay, so after this, Mark Henry backstage. Okay, he's with – they're doing the split screen things with him, I guess, is what they want to do. So he's in the middle. We've got 2.0 and Daniel Garcia. They're talking about how they're going to – this was so fast. It was supposed to be Mark Henry kind of getting comments from each, and it was just really, really fast. 2.0 – and Daniel Garcia going off about how they're going to take Moxley out. Moxley responds, it was totally a mile a minute. He said he was pissed and that Garcia has a better chance of getting him pregnant than beating him. It was way too fast for me to make any kind of major notes on this.
I guess just a
totally rushed segment.
Yeah. Like, I mean, here's the thing, like the verbiage was good. I got some of it. Like, you know, for example, Garcia said, you know, I beat Fuego and Matt Sydal, but to be the biggest star, I have to beat, you know, John Moxley, right? And then Matt Lee said something along the lines of, we waited, like, the people here have waited 20 years for a main event like this.
Yes.
Like, it was a really good heel type promo. And, like, Daniel Garcia, for a young guy, actually, I'm not going to say he's, like, Moxley level, but he's got some skills. Like, he's not bad, right? And then when Mox started talking, like, I tried to keep up, and basically I just type, he's going to beat Daniel Garcia.
It was insane. Now, it was so fast.
I will take back, though, something I said last week, and maybe this is the Mark Henry issue now, but last week I thought, like, when they did the Britt Baker Red Velvet face-to-face with Mark Henry, I was kind of like, oh, cool, something new, right? This one was not good, and maybe it, like, I don't know if it was because of Mark Henry or because it was really rushed, but I didn't like this particular one. It just didn't seem right, you know.
Yeah, to me it was just the same thing. Like, I don't think you can. I almost don't think you can accurately judge the rest of the show because they had to rush everything. It's just when you put that kind of pressure on the rest to have to go so quickly, it just kind of spirals out. So, okay, so this did lead us into the main event of the show, which is John Moxley against Daniel Garcia. Eddie Kingston comes out with Moxley. So the match gets underway. Moxley's throwing him around with some suplexes, some kicks to the chest. But Garcia, pretty well, as soon as he can, tries to go after Moxley's leg, of course, because they attacked him on Dynamite with the pipe and hit him in the knee. So Garcia's working the leg for a lot of this. Moxley does get the armbar at one point, but Garcia gets out of it. Mox gets two German suplexes, and he was going for a third, but then Garcia flipped him over, went back to working the ankle and the knee. Mox got a clothesline, and they both exchanged forearms with each other. Moxley also did some crazy, ridiculous-looking headbutts at one point. Garcia, this was pretty neat. Excuse me. Garcia got what was kind of like a sharpshooter style move on Mox, and he really pulled back on it. Like, I mean, really leaned.
Oh,
right,
he was grinding that sucker in, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, leaned back so far that he's basically lying on Moxley's back. But then because he was so far back, Moxley's able to grab him and puts him in the bulldog choke and really cinches it in. And Garcia actually submits to the bulldog choke. So again, very quick match. I kind of liked it. We saw him use the bulldog choke. It's something we don't, one of his different match winning things rather than paradigm shift all the time. So, but again, just, it was fast. It was a very rushed match.
Yeah. And then you had like the aftermatch shenanigans as well, right?
Afterwards, 2.0, they come back out, they attack Moxley and Kingston, and that brings Darby and Sting out to counter 2.0. Moxley did finally get to give Daniel Garcia a paradigm shift in all of this craziness. Stinger splash on 2.0, and then I didn't catch which one of them Sting grabbed, but he grabbed one of 2.0 and gave them the Scorpion Death Drop. And then they're both lying there in the ring, and Darby went up and did the coffin drop off the top onto both of them, and that was basically the end of the show.
See, and here's the thing. Like, you want to talk about, like, you know, we talked about this, you know, on All Elite Weekly about, you know, the overbooking your endings. Again, another example where, like, you could have had this match go a tad longer. You could still have Mox, you know, win with the choke, and you have 2.0 and Garcia attack Mox and Kingston, and they stand over them. There, end the show that way on a cliffhanger. You know what I mean? And then for the live crowd, Sting and Darby come. You know what I mean? Like, they could have done that, right? And but that would have given the match a little bit more time. And then, like, because to me, like you mentioned that you thought the this was rushed. I thought the ending to this didn't help, because then you had this, like, it was like Sting and Darby came down, which it was fine. Like, it was fun. Like, I like Sting, right? But then it was like, you know, like double Stinger splash, double coffin drop, you know, paradigm shift. It's like, no, like let's let some shit breathe a little bit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I get it. Like, again, I still like the match. I still like the show. But yeah, I understand your point. Like, a lot of stuff did seem rushed, and like also even the promos, the Don Callis Kenny Omega one, that was like, you didn't need that. You didn't need the Christian promo. Like, if you cut those out, there's, you know, a couple minutes you could have saved on the show as well, right?
Again, I would have even taken. I just don't even know why Moxley Garcia was in there.
They did
set it up on Dynamite, but it really didn't need to be there. Like, I don't know. I just thought that was kind of, if maybe that had been left out, you could have done the rest and the show wouldn't have been so, you know, fast-paced.
Well, you know, but what, like, if you had taken that match out, what I would have done was, to your point, I probably would have kept Jade and Kiera Hogan about that length and then give.
Oh, no, I wouldn't have touched that. No,
yeah,
no,
exactly. I would give Jurassic Express and Private Party more time. Right. Yes. So maybe if they had the time.
You put that in the main event spot and you give them 15 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I get that. I get that.
But I you know, obviously you can't take away. It's, you know, the thing is with a show like this, Joe, while I can sit here now and say, yeah, Punk's debut was great, but it kind of wrecked the flow of the show. That's the rest of the show will not be remembered. The only thing as we go into history is that this is just going to be remembered as this big Punk moment. No one's going to remember what the rest of the show was. So ultimately, I can understand why you make the sacrifice for one show and you really let Punk have his moment. That's the way they did it. That's the way they took it. And it was fantastic. Like they totally worked the whole thing with Punk so well because, you know, they know that these things can sometimes get out. And so it's like, you know what? Instead of letting it get out, why don't we just tease it? We'll just tease it ourselves. We control the narrative of getting it out.
Yeah, we control the narrative is what I think what AEW did. So I thought that was really well done. The other thing too, and I'd asked this on the board, so I'm going to ask you the same question, although I think I know your answer. Like, you know, sometimes when you, like, stuff gets hyped up in wrestling and then it happens, it's a bit of a letdown. Like, do you think this, like, Punk coming back, do you think that was a letdown or was it?
Oh, good God. No, how could you say that?
Like, I'm just saying.
I don't even know how you could consider that. You've got to be kidding me. In an era now where we very rarely get any kind of genuine, heartfelt emotion, this was freaking off the charts, man. I can't think of anything in any promotion in the last while that would come even remotely close to this. Like, it's, except maybe what AEW's done themselves with some of the stuff that they have in terms of their wicked crowd reactions, but this was phenomenal. But that's because they set it up properly. They knew who their fans were. They did what the fans wanted. They teased the fans, but they still gave the fans in the end
what they wanted.
They gave them what they wanted.
Now, here's another question. So that pop that CM Punk got, was one of the bigger pops that I've heard in a long, long time. Can you think of anything that rivals that recently?
Okay, you put recently in there, so you killed two of the examples I was just going to give.
Okay, give me the example.
No, recently is hard. I always think of WrestleMania 6 at the Sky Dome. I was there, and when Warrior won the match, it was insane, the pop there. Right. And I also think of the other WrestleMania in Toronto, number 18, where they had Rock and Hogan. And the crowd in that show was just insane during that match.
Oh, I was there. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's crazy. But recently, like, I mean, again, I would just go back to AEW ones, you know, because they're their only promotion, even though in their short history of 2 years. In front of live crowds, especially now since they've come out of the pandemic and they are in front of crowds, they're getting pretty major reactions on a weekly basis. And that hasn't happened in a long time. They certainly don't have the fans trying to take control of the show or trying to have their own agenda or create their own chance to piss off the company. They're not doing that. They're bought in. They're playing along. Like, they've done a great job.
So here's another question. Speaking of chants, we have SummerSlam tomorrow night. Do you think you're going to hear a CM Punk chant tomorrow?
It would be pretty funny. It might. Yep. I could see it happening. You know what? Yes, I could totally see that happening. at some point, somebody, yeah, they just want to be jerks, or they, you know, they try to start it early on. Yeah, it'll be interesting.
It'll be interesting. Yeah. Like the one thing I will say about AEW, and you kind of touched on it, was like, think about this week alone. Okay. I know people are going to laugh at this, but I'm going to mention it. The Fuego del Sol, contract,
oh no, that was a
right?
genuine moment. That again, was... like tonight, a genuine moment.
Yep, like the crowd singing Jericho into the ring.
Right.
Right, with the singing Judas. Yep. Like
no
you know,
music.
Yeah, with no music. Like, you know, Britt's reaction in Pittsburgh. You know, like AEW in 1 week has had a bunch of really, really cool, and the word you use is perfect, genuine moments. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's really cool. And, like, I had Facebooked Dan prior to the show, prior to Rampage, and I was like, and I actually said, like, I haven't been this excited about a wrestling show since I was like 5 years old.
Yeah. You know what
I mean? I really was excited.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And the last thing I'll mention to you as well, like I was checking out like engagement on the Facebook page. So in 20 minutes or 30 minutes, okay, we usually do a thread for you know all the TV shows.
Yeah.
In 30
yeah.
minutes, the Rampage thread had more comments on it than tonight's SmackDown thread.
Oh.
Now, I know it's CM Punk, but still, like, that's a lot.
I'm not surprised. Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. No. The thing is, they did everything right. Like, they did what fans want. They teased the guy. They delivered the guy. And they've been given these other examples that you cited, genuine moments, right? Where you actually feel something, not where you go like, oh, I can't buy into this because that guy's been beaten 75 million times or mm-hmm. whatever. It's like, it was well done, well orchestrated. They understand their audience. And that's the one thing that's been missing from WWE in a long time. And it's going to make a big difference with AEW, because they're gonna play to what the fans like and not ignore them or try to shove something down their throats they don't want.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's more the comment. Like, I mean, they're gonna book heels to win as an example, but they're not gonna do it where they insult their fans. You know what I mean? And they're not gonna try to force, like, you know, the AEW wrestling fan or the wrestling whatever, the AEW wrestling fan to like, you know, I don't know, let's say, you like, they're not going to force, for example, Luchasaurus down your throat. It's like, hey, the crowd likes Luchasaurus. Great. They don't like Luchasaurus. Okay, well, let's swerve over here. You know what I mean? Like, they're listening to the fans, which, again, is kind of weird because, you know, and again, you know, rightly or wrongly, the WWE has their view of what sports entertainment should be, and that's what they push, right? I'm not saying it's right, not saying it's wrong. That's just WWE's business model. So it's really refreshing. Like, We've been dealing with that for, what, 20, 30 years. So it's really refreshing to see a wrestling company that's actually seems like they seem to be catering to the fan, like, you know?
Yeah. No, it was a great bring. And now the thing is, now you had the great entry. You had the big pop. Now, what do you do with them? What do you do with them now until the pay-per-view? To keep this thing going with Darby, do we just see like kind of taped promos from Punk every week, or is he there? Like, what is there interaction with him and Darby, or do they just leave it at that? Or,
you know what, I like, based on what Punk said and what, you know, I've read or heard about him in interviews, I think he'll want to get involved in, like, the impression I get with Punk, and he even mentioned it in his promo, like, was that, you know, he wanted to be around this young talent. He wants to, like, almost like give back, right? He's like 42,
yes.
You know, Darby's like 20, whatever it is, 26, 27, whatever he is. So I get the sense that if Punk can help Darby, like, whether it's through a vignette, whether it's through like a face-to-face promo, whether it's, you know, like, whether it's through something, I get the sense that he'll want to be more involved than not. You know, to help out that younger talent. So I wouldn't be shocked if we see, you know, a vignette here, or if we see like a face to like a back and forth. Now, here's what Darby's gonna have to do though, like, or here's the issue, depending on which way you want to look at it. Like, Darby's not great on the mic, right? He's, you know, give him a line or two and he's good.
Yeah,
let him do his vignettes.
That's all, but that's all he should do anyways. He's kind of the quiet, mysterious guy anyways. He should only do a couple of lines.
Right, but like Punk is very good on the mic. So the last thing we want to see is Punk versus Darby in a promo, like promo versus promo. And that's why I think what you'll see is more vignettes, and I think what you'll see is like that physical tension where they're not going to touch, but you can tell like they want to get at it. I think that's how they're going to build this match. And again, like, you know, AEW has done a really good job at you know, building stuff. So while I can't say I know what they're going to do, I do have, I guess, some faith that they are going to do this correctly.
All righty. Well, there you go. A monumental night will definitely be remembered for the first 17 minutes anyways. anything else that you want to add to this before we put it to bed for tonight?
No, other than that, really impressed with Daniel Garcia and 2.0. Man, like those guys, like those three, I really, really hope they get down the line an opportunity to shine, especially 2.0. I think those guys could be really, like, they could be a tag team to be reckoned with, and you know, they're really good heels, they're really good personalities, and they're really good wrestlers. So really want to see these three get a shot. Like even losing to Mox tonight, not a problem. Daniel Garcia is like a rookie, or he's a young guy.
Yeah.
Mox is an ex-world champion. This did not hurt him, you know. So really, really impressed with them. You know, again, I'm looking forward to, you know, this tag tournament and next week's Rampage. So, you know, like, again, I agree with you that the show was rushed in parts, but I did enjoy the show. Obviously the first 17 minutes, like you said, were very, very memorable.
Right.
And yeah, like, you know what, like you and I have said this enough times in the podcast over, you know, however long we've been doing it. Let's see what the follow-up is. And again, I have a lot more faith in AEW's follow-up than I do in, say, WWE's, unfortunately, just based on what we've been watching over the last couple months.
Yeah,
so I think they'll be fine. And what's really exciting, though, is that, okay, you still have potentially this Daniel Bryan thing. You still potentially have maybe this Ric Flair thing. Like, there's some shit coming down the pipe, man. Like, if all this stuff is true. So, like, as good as the Punk thing is, like, I can't wait for that New York show next month. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, Will, exactly. Will it be another surprise? You know, Will, now that we're past Punk, will they start dropping hints about Daniel Bryan in little bits, in promos and stuff like they did with Punk? Like, we'll have to see how does it play out.
Like, maybe not as big a name, but still, to me, pretty, I think, would be a pretty good pickup. Like, Ruby Soho.
Oh, no, are you kidding? Right? I think if they get Punk and if they get Brian, that's a major coup. And not just a major coup, but a major coup in that WWE fans have wanted both of those guys forever.
Yep.
Were denied them. Now the word will get out, and the word will get out that they're in a promotion where they're going to be respected, they're going to be treated right, and you're going to finally get to see, you know, some amazing stuff. So I honestly think that if this, you know, it works right and they get the attention, I think a lot of WWE fans are going to make a switch, because those are the two guys they've always wanted in the last, you know, 7 years or whatever.
Yeah. No, it's interesting times, man. Interesting times. It's pretty, you know, this is very cliche, but it's pretty exciting to be a wrestling fan. Not even just AEW, but I mean, like, you know, New Japan's looking good. Yeah. Ring of Honor starting to pick some shit up. You know, Impact, you know, with Christian Cage. Hopefully that helps. That, you know, this Forbidden Door stuff opens up a bit more. So NWA's got a, you know, the Empower pay-per-view coming up, and they're sort of getting a resurgence now. So lots of stuff going on, man.
It is. It's crazy. But for us, that's it for tonight, kids. We are old. We need to go to bed. And plus, we have a power-packed weekend here anyways, right? SummerSlam being on Saturday. So I'll be joining Jay and Mark Andrada, and we're going to do the post-launch party there afterwards with SummerSlam. And perhaps, Joe, if you're up, you can join us as well.
I'll probably be there.
And then Sunday, Jay will be back again. It'll be Boris and
Matthew.
Boris and Matthew doing the NXT one, which is in the Sunday spot. The two shows have switched this year with SummerSlam on Saturday and TakeOver on Sunday. So lots of stuff coming. We're going to do podcasts on all these things. So, yeah, you're getting lots of great content this week. So that's it for Joe Aguinaldo. I'm Dan the Mouth Lebranski, and we are out of here once again. And we thank you, as always, for listening.
Tough guy.